Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To find out more about Hank Hanegraaff or one of his resources, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, or the Christian Research Journal, go to our website at www.equip.org. Due to the sensitive nature of today's topic, listener discretion is advised. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. I want to talk with Ellen Dykus before we do that about an incredible article titled Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad. And even before talking to Ellen, I want to ask you a question. What do you see in your mind's eye when the word sex is mentioned? Do you see an image of Lady Gaga, a James Bond movie, Cosmopolitan? Or does your mind immediately flash from sex to Scripture? Because trust me, when it comes to sex, Playboy can't hold a candle to the Word of God. And if you think that's an overstatement, just read a few pages out of the Song of Solomon. Sex might be the most commonly used word on the internet search engines, but it originated with God. In the beginning, God created sex. And remember, he called his creation very good. And God did not just ordain sex for procreation. He originated sex for the purpose of pleasure. Sexual pleasure was an intentional part of God's divine design, not a serendipitous byproduct. God, of course, could have made sex merely functional, but he didn't. He made it to be a thrilling, passionate act, full of potential for physical delight. But tragically, what the Creator purposed to be pristine and pure, the creation has prostituted and perverted. And that is precisely what Ellen Dykus addresses in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's an incredible article titled Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad. And I'm very happy that she wrote this article because women are struggling with sexual insanity just as men are struggling with sexual insanity. The difference is we're aware of the problem with men and oftentimes not as aware with respect to women. And therefore, the problems are not dealt with by the church in a forthright manner. Ellen Dykus she serves as Women's Ministry Coordinator for Harvest USA. It's a national ministry that exists to help men, women, and families affected by sexual struggles and sin, to equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. And I can't think of a more pertinent, appropriate, and timely subject than this subject in the Christian Research Journal. By the way, if you have not subscribed, you can subscribe online in a safe, secure fashion. We do have a special offer code. It's SUMMER. Use the special offer code SUMMER and receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free, plus six more issues for only $34.50. You can subscribe online at equip.org. Ellen, it is good to have you with us.
Thanks, Hank. It's really a delight to be able to be on your show today.
I want to have you start by defining what you mean by sexual insanity.
Well, I think one way to look at that, it would be just, as you mentioned, the free-for-all that is happening in the world around us and actually that we're seeing more and more in the body of Christ. When people are going outside of God's good design, we could look at that as one way of looking at what would be sexual sanity, living within the wisdom of God's gracious guardrails. And so insanity would be really any of us stepping outside of those boundaries that God has set up, not only for his glory, but for our flourishing.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think people mistake. They think God is some kind of a sexual cosmic killjoy, when in fact he sets those parameters around our lives so that our joy might in fact be complete.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And you've written in the article that pastors and Christian counselors affirm what we already know, and that is sexual sin, but no one seems to be able to offer practical help to change. How so?
Well, you know, and first I would want to say that I wouldn't say that no one knows how to offer change. I mean, in the article I referenced a woman I had met with who actually had been wrestling with homosexuality for over 2 decades, and she had gone and sought help over and over and wasn't really able to find someone that could help her apply the truths of Scripture in a way that were practical, that were where her feet was hitting the pavement of earth, in a sense, to help her understand how to turn away from temptation, but also how to understand who she is in Christ. How does that make a difference in her desires, in her relationships? And I mean, I'll just go ahead and add in that what we find in our ministry is so often people can be very intimidated to apply the richness of discipleship principles that they already know, but they can feel intimidated to apply those to people wrestling in areas of sexuality. But it's really, you know, the gospel truth applies to all areas of life, including our sexuality.
I want to read a quote that you have in the article. Within married sex, within marriage, sex is more satisfying than anything the world offers as a sexually attractive substitute. Then you say, like a fire, or at least the quote, like a fire inside a fireplace, it provides light and warmth. But outside the right context, sex can destroy, like an unextinguished cigarette can burn down a huge forest. I think this is a really important quote. The reason being that I find more and more, particularly among youth, there is this idea, no harm, no foul, which is to say, it's not a big thing, it's recreational, it's not really harming anyone, it was just an experience I had last night.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we know from the truth of God's word and being image bearers of him that isn't true, that a sexual expression, expressing ourselves sexually, it does have a spiritual, emotional, mental impact on us. And we see that over and over with people who are married, and they're married to someone that together they are seeking to love the Lord in the midst of their marriage, and yet continuing to deal with the harvest that has come in from past experiences. And, you know, another way of looking at this is to say that, you know, God is our Father, and this is his world, and his truth is always true. And going back to those guardrails, when we step outside of those guardrails, his grace will cover us, but there will be consequences. And, you know, in saying that, I don't want to, we definitely do not use scare tactics here at Harvest USA, but we also speak the truth in love, and that is that there can be ramifications that do come in when we step outside of God's design.
I love what you say in the article, sex is a deeply spiritual activity. It unites two people's beings, not just bodies, but beings in a way that is profound and powerful. This is one of the reasons why God lovingly commands for it to be contained within a lifelong committed relationship. It is far too precious to be shared broadly, casually, or selfishly. Cash that out.
Yeah, well, we see in Scripture that, as you said a little bit earlier, that God has designed that sexual intimacy in marriage between a husband and a wife who are in a committed covenant relationship, that's the sexual relationship would be something that is pleasurable. But we also know that there is a profound spiritual meaning that God has given to sexual activity, because it does bond two people together in a way that is meant to image back to the reality of Christ relating to his people. We see that in Ephesians 5. And try as we might, we cannot divorce the sexual, physical activity from the profound spiritual meaning that God has given to it. And so non-believers or believers are acting out sexually in all kinds of ways outside of what God has intended. But that, again, is going to have those ramifications because God has meant for it to have a powerful impact according to his, according to the purpose that he's given to it.
Let's talk about some of these sexual behaviors outside of God's design. One of them that comes to mind, it's a sidebar in the journal on the 50 Shades of Grey. What is the attraction and what's wrong with it, and why are so many Christian women reading this series?
Yeah, well, first of all, for any of the listeners that may not be familiar with this trilogy of books, and I'll put it out there, I have not read the trilogy of books myself, and I do not intend to, but it's a romance novel that emphasizes a certain genre of sexual activity we might call it that utilizes things like violence, humiliation, and things like that. It's couched in a love story. It's couched in the story of a older man and a younger woman coming together, and her helping him, and a whole variety of things. And again, I'm saying this from things I've read about the books, because I will not read the books. The draw, I'm assuming, is probably what the draw is of a lot of things that we see in entertainment these days, whether if it's in print form or on primetime TV. There's a romance to it. There's a pursuit and a cherishing that is somehow woven into it. And as I understand it, and as I've read a lot of blog posts by Christian women, I think that is the draw, that it's a love story, that it's a story of a woman helping a man, of caring for a man. But where this gets really dangerous is when that is normalizing sexual activity or a certain type of sexual activity that in no way images the relationship between Christ and his people. And that is, again, a part of what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5, that there is a profound mystery that the relationship between a husband and wife is meant to point to. That is Christ and his people. And that includes sexual relationship, which we have been very uncomfortable a lot of times even talking about that. But that is a part of what God has designed. And so the 50 Shades of Grey is an example of saying a man and a woman can love each other, call it love, and do whatever they want. That's absolutely not what God would say.
Let me ask you about a solo sex or masturbation. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on that is that it's something that a lot of women are struggling with, single and married. I've talked with lots of women who wrestle with this. It is an expression of what we would call broken sexuality, and I use that term broken because of God's original design being broken or not being experienced as he would have us to. But solo sex does not fall, again, inside those gracious guardrails that God has given. It's sex is meant to be relational. Masturbation is intensely selfish. It is a person satisfying themselves. The sexual relationship between a husband and wife is meant to be something that where you are selflessly serving each other in the context of an intimate bond of commitment. Masturbation is, again, it's completely isolated from relationship to another person. It's a relationship to yourself. And so I do want to say along with this, is that there's also so much shame that, and again, the article is written for women, so I'll address women. There's so much shame that a lot of women feel when this has been a temptation or perhaps an ongoing habitual sin struggle in their life. It's also an area that is absolutely within the reach of Jesus Christ and the gospel. It is one of those habitual patterns that God gives us wisdom to know how to turn away from and to increasingly be free from over time.
We're talking to Ellen Dykus. She serves as Women's Ministry Coordinator for Harvest USA. It's a national ministry that exists to help men, women, and families affected by sexual struggles and sin, and to equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. I want to hold Ellen over, if possible, to the next segment. We are going to go to your calls in just a few moments, but I have some other questions to ask Ellen, particularly with respect to sexualized friendships and homosexual relationships. I want to talk about that right after the break. Again, all of this dealt with in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe today and receive the current edition free of charge. You can subscribe on the World Wide Web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, you can talk to our resource consultants as well, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I'll be back in just a few moments with Ellen Dykus, and then as well with your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. By the way, your calls do not have to be limited to this subject. Be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. But in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, noted Christian counselor Ellen Dykus helps women find sexual sanity through the wise, unashamed, bold teaching of the Bible. Start your subscription to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering and Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we are talking about an article by Ellen Dykus in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal titled Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad. Ellen serves as Women's Ministry Coordinator for Harvest USA. It's a national ministry that exists to help men, women, and families affected by sexual struggles and sin, and to equip churches to minister to sexually broken people. I want to read a quote from the article, Ellen, have you comment, because this relates to what I suggested just before the break, which is your comments on sexualized friendships and homosexual relationships. You write, a sobering component of my ministry to married women is helping them in their battle against the creeping nature of past sexual experiences on their marital sexual relationship. For them, masturbation was easier than trusting their husband and learning to work at knowing each other sexually. Memories of sex with others or the stick-to-the-brain power of pornographic images don't wash away easily. Many women have shared with me that emotional and sexual entanglements experienced with female friends had such an intoxicating influence on them that growing into oneness with their husbands had been painfully difficult. Again, this in context of sexualized friendships and homosexual relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, in bringing that into the article, I mean, as I said, I have gotten to just journey with a lot of women that has been their experience. It might have been in light of the sexualized friendships. And in fact, I have gotten to meet with a lot of young adult women who perhaps as teens, maybe college students or younger, had a friendship with another young woman, a best friend or a very close friend, and it began to become what I refer to as romanticized and then sexualized. And that, you know, same gender relating in most situations is a lot easier than relating to the opposite gender. And there's something about that emotional connecting, that expressing that in a physical or sexual way seems to feel right. When somebody continues to walk in that kind of a pattern of relating, it's very easy for it to even to begin to make assumptions about, I wonder if this is who I am. So I'm probably going even a little bit beyond what your question was, Hank, but I'll just say this, that I've had so many women that has been their experience, single and married, who wouldn't have necessarily even ever referred to themselves as gay or same-sex attracted, but they had one certain friendship that crossed over those lines that seemed to begin to lay down a pattern that they desired to continue in.
But how hard is it for you to speak about issues like this when so many in the Christian church are asking the question, what's your problem, Ellen? I mean, these two women, they love each other, they're attracted to one another, they're not hurting anybody by that relationship. They seem to be satisfied in that relationship. So again, what's your problem?
Mm. Well, I respond to that with a lot of prayer and hopefully gracious humility, because I myself am a woman that it gets tempted into Jeremiah 2:13. turning away from the Lord, the fountain of living water, and seeking to find life in my own self dug out wells, whether if that's with people or whatever it might be. And I bring that up, Hank, related to the question that you're asking, because, you know, when God summarized the sins, the variety of sins his people had committed, he said two things they've done. They've turned away from me, that would include turning away from God's word, God's design, and they've gone out and tried to make their own way. So the way I respond to that, to answer you very specifically, is I want to engage them in their question. I want to find out how they've come to their conclusions related to same-sex relationships. But eventually, we're going to have to go back to the Lord as loving Lord and loving Creator. And our Creator has given a design for how we're to relate to one another as same gender or opposite gender. He's given a design for how we are to express ourselves or withhold from expressing ourselves sexually. And God lays out very clearly how I am to relate to other women as a friend, a sister in Christ, maybe a spiritual mother, maybe a mentor, maybe a mentee. But there's no place in God's word where you ever see God blessing a same-sex romantic or sexual relationship. You just won't find it there.
Well, what about the idea that maybe the word of God is just outdated?
Well, then we come down to biblical apologetics. And honestly, that's what I've been talking about a lot with people recently, is that is one of those areas where I believe that Christians who are wanting to be strongly rooted in a biblical perspective, we are going to need to learn more and more a robust way of sharing how God's word is authoritative and that it is never going to be outdated. His word is eternal and it remains, and that includes all of his teachings about his design.
Yeah, beautifully stated. I mean, I think that's what it gets down to, being able to demonstrate that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And if it is, then we ought to live within the parameters that God sets forth for us to live within, because he has constructed us. He knows precisely how we're designed, and therefore the roiling opinions of political correctness never trump the Word of God, the designer. I really appreciate you, Alan, and the article you wrote for the Christian Research Journal. Thank you so much for your contribution on the broadcast today.
Thank you so much, Hank, and thank you for allowing me to just even address these issues related to women. That is a tremendous blessing to me personally.
Well, it was a much-needed article, and we're just thrilled with it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Hank.
God bless you, Ellen. And again, the article is in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. The journal, as mentioned in the first segment today, is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. There's a special offer code that you can find on the web. It's simply SUMMER. And when you use the special offer code SUMMER, you'll receive the current edition of the Christian Research Journal free when you subscribe to six more issues. Again, you can subscribe online at equip.org on the World Wide Web. Of course, as always, you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by that number, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Some of you hanging on already. Again, we'll be taking your calls live throughout this broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go first to Ava in Raleigh, North Carolina, listening on WPJL. Hi, Ava.
Hi. Yesterday, I said to a lady, Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And then she said back to me, that is your opinion. Then she went into this unity thing that God is everything. And how do I respond back to her?
Well, it's kind of what Ellen Dykus and I were talking about at the end of our interview, and that is that you have to be able to demonstrate that the Bible is a reliable authority. And if it is, then we have God's revelation of himself to us in the Word of God, and his revelation is very, very clear. It is clear in the sense that there is only one God, But that one God is revealed in three persons, that is, personal self-distinctions within the Godhead, and those self-distinctions never change. In other words, the Father never becomes the Son, and the Son never becomes the Holy Spirit. And they are personal self-distinctions. Therefore, we can relate to God on a personal level. But certainly the Bible is very clear with respect to Jesus Christ being the Son of God, which is a way of saying that Jesus Christ is ontologically or by nature or essence equal to God. Now, Jesus claimed to be God. The Bible's emphatic about that. Secondly, the Bible claims that Jesus Christ is God. And thirdly, the credentials of Christ back up his claim to deity. He was one who demonstrated supernatural authority over sickness, over disease, over nature, over angels, even over death, thus demonstrating that he is God in human flesh. And that is precisely what the Bible says. All the fullness of deity dwelt in Jesus Christ, or dwells in Jesus Christ in bodily form.
Okay, thank you so much.
You got it, and I have written about this in a Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine, which is a flip chart which lays out the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I've said this before, it bears repeating, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. Again, the doctrine's flip chart. Available, you can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Jenny, Frisco, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Hank. So nice to talk with you. My question is about something that my brother has been hearing from Christians in his area. He is not a Christian. I am a Christian, and he called me with this concern question. He said that he had heard that if people do good works and they don't do it in the name of Jesus Christ, then they're doing the work of the devil. And I told him I didn't think that sounded right, but I couldn't say any particular scripture or anything. I thought of the passage in Isaiah about all our good works are like filthy rags. But what would you say in that regard?
Well, I would say you're absolutely right. I mean, good works are good works, and therefore there are people who are doing good works, giving a cup of water in the name of Jesus Christ, but there are also people who are giving a cup of cold water to someone who needs it in the name of humanitarian purposes. But it is still a good deed. Now, we can never achieve eternal life through our good deeds because we can never do enough good deeds, nor do we do deeds out of selfless or purely selfless motives. I mean, we work out of a big mixed bag of Moses, even as believers. And that is why we as believers say that we are those who have been saved by God's grace through faith on account of Jesus Christ alone, which is to say, that we are covered by the spotless robes of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ourselves remain sinners, and even the good deeds that we do are done with a sin nature, but we are positionally declared righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So we should not disdain good deeds, nor should we turn our nose up at them. Whether they're done by pagans or Christians, they are yet good deeds, and we should applaud that. But we should also be those that can communicate to a lost and searching world that no one is perfect, no, not one, and therefore we need the perfection of Jesus Christ so that we can ultimately be reconciled to a God, not only for time, but also for eternity. Be right back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stay tuned for that.
We often look for security in places where it can't be found. In money, our career, or our health. That's why CRI's broadcasts are so powerful, as they help people discover the real security that's found in Jesus. But we can't do it without your help. Your generous support today helps us reach more lives with God's Word. And in thanks for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham to help you clearly see the security Christ freely offers you. So please request your copy of Secure by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire two-hour audio Gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This two-hour audio Gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.
Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast you're listening to right now is made possible by the generosity of friends like you? That means your support truly matters. And when you give today, we'll show our appreciation with a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham. Secure helps you discover how you can experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request Secure now. That's 888-7000-CRI. Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Nan listening in Raleigh, North Carolina, WCRU. Hi, Nan.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for your ministry, Hank. I tune into you quite often, and I'm calling today because, let me just start by saying I lost a daughter years ago, and it's been 14 years this April, and since that time, I saw, and my family as well, numerous spiritual things that happened that appeared to us that it could only be from her. And so much so that I want to put it in a book to help other parents who have lost a child. And friends that I've talked to have just been in chills when I tell them the things that we witnessed as a family, parents, my sister, other members. And it just seemed to draw just one conclusion. It could only be from her. And I was listening to your broadcast coming home from work one day, and I heard a mother call in and say, can our loved ones see what's going on after they've passed on? And you said certainly they've gone on to be in the presence of the Lord, which I knew, but they're not sitting on a bleacher looking down and seeing what's going on. Well, I was devastated, really, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, no, that can't be. I know what I've witnessed. You know, we've talked about it, and it spiritually just helped in the healing process, besides, you know, what the peace the Lord had given me and the strength and everything. And that particular Sunday, that was a Friday, someone came up to me in my church and said, have you read this book called Heaven? It's by Randy Alcorn, and I know that you have written a book as well, and I have not had the opportunity to read this one or the other one that you have written. But based on what the person who showed me the book, she said, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And I told her of this concern that I have after hearing your broadcast. And I'm not calling to doubt you. I'm just kind of, I don't know whether to pursue now to write this book or not, that my heart was, you know, in giving something back to her as well, because they're such beautiful things. So I'm really in a confused state right now.
Well, you know, first of all, thank you so much for calling, and I'm so sorry for the loss of, is your daughter?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One of them.
Yes. I can tell you that 13 years ago, we lost a preborn child named Baby Grace. So there's some sense in which I can identify with that. But the reality is that there's no evidence whatsoever that those who have died can intersect with us in the land of the living. And what I do in my book, Afterlife, is I demonstrate that to be a reality. Now, with all due respect to Randy Alcorn, who I very much admire and appreciate, I certainly disagree with his views regarding heaven. Although much of what he has written in the book is very, very helpful, I think his manner of interpreting Scripture is not one that is one that I would recommend. And you can see that particularly when you read the entry in my book, Afterlife, Do People in Heaven Know What Is Presently Happening on Earth? There's no evidence whatsoever that they do. What we do have evidence of is that you didn't lose your daughter, and I didn't lose mine. If you lose something, you don't know where it is. We know that our daughters are in the presence of the Lord. They're absent from the body. They're present with the Lord, and that we will one day be reunited with them, that their souls will return to resurrected bodies, and that this universe will be restored from its groaning and travail. It will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And so you can have certain assurance on the basis of Scripture that you will be reunited with your child. Now, that does not mean that you're not going to have very vivid, maybe even visions of your child. I can tell you that my wife has, and she has had a vision of Baby Grace running into her arms, and she had a vision when Baby Grace died of Jesus taking her by the hand. All of those are wonderful images, and they point to the reality of reunification with our loved ones. Now, our relationships will be different, as in better, but nonetheless, we will continue in fellowship and relationship. But there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that departed loved ones can come back into the realm of the living. Now, there are non-normative events to that extent. So, for example, in Samuel, you have a depiction of Saul, the first king of Israel, who goes to the witch of Endor, and the witch of Endor is shocked by a non-normative supernatural event in which God allows Samuel to come back, which God, of course, can do. But this is a non-normative event. Those who are departed do not inhabit the land of the living. They are absent from the body. They're present with the Lord. They're enjoying fellowship with the Lord and with those who are departed. So they have conscious awareness in the presence of God. But there, again, is nothing in the Bible suggesting that they can come back to the land of the living.
Well, how do you explain concrete, like, things that only she knew about that were placed in our presence, where my daughter and I were at a particular place? She had been at a friend's house and caring for an infant who couldn't even roll over in the crib, and things that were of her, that were things that were left there by her, were in the middle of the bathroom floor the next morning we went to go take care of the usual things.
Yeah. Well,
and things of such nature that were, you know, have been set out in the middle of a hallway or at my parents' house that were hers. I mean, who does these things?
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
Well, I can't. I have to humbly confess that I cannot. What I can do is I can take all anecdotes and test them in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. Experiences are wonderful, but they must always be tested because subjective experiences are notoriously unreliable. So I cannot test every single anecdote. I can only tell you that anecdotes have to be tested in light of Scripture. I've had experiences where I have woken from a deep sleep and for some time consider that what I was dreaming about actually happened in real life, and only later recognize that they couldn't have happened or they didn't happen, but yet they seemed as real as the very flesh upon my bones. So again, anecdotes are subjective experiences. They're wonderful. Sometimes they're edifying. We can appreciate them for what they are, but we don't want to set doctrinal delineations on them. What we have to do is test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. This is what Billy Graham says. The Bible does not tell us if the souls in God's presence know what is happening on earth. What it does tell us is that God knows what is happening in our lives. So, he says, our desire as believers should not be to please men, but to run the race to please God. He further says, Jesus Christ watches our every move. He knows our every thought. How thankful we should be, for he is our strength. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The point is plain. Apart from biblical precedents, to the contrary, we should concern ourselves with the Lord, not loved ones, knowing what is presently happening on earth, and recognize the beautiful reality that you will be reunited with your daughter. I think one of the things that we have to be careful about is the whole notion of either ghosts or poltergeists, which is German permutation that means noisy ghosts. They exist in mythology, but what does not exist in mythology and what is real in biblical cosmology, in a biblical worldview, is demons, and they're more than happy to feed on unbiblical delusions. So while fallen angels are not physical, they're real. And no doubt, much to his delight, we oftentimes fall for his ploys. And that's why it's, you know, Paul goes to the extent of saying, even if an angel appears and tells you something, don't believe it if it contradicts what is already given to us in the Word of God, because the Word of God is sufficient for all of faith and practice.
Oh, I hear what you're saying, and I just wanted you to understand that I'm not talking about ghost type or dreams or anything that you could possibly confuse.
But that is a ghost. I mean, that is what ghosts are. They are the idea that those who have departed come back to the land of the living. And they
right.
manifest
these
in
just,
some way.
These were just solid things that are, appear like on a doorstep that were her, you know, from her. Still don't know where these things came from, but you know, it's been a comfort to at least think that. But thank you for your time, and thank you for your thoughts and your insight on it. And perhaps I will get your book too when I finish this one, and I'll. I would love to read your take on what you've written as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Nan, and God bless you, and recognize that one day you and your lovely daughter are going to be reconciled and reunited in eternity, and that is the glorious hope that we have. We don't know why things happen. The Bible doesn't answer the why question, but it does teach us to trust Him in the midst of our whys.
Thank you. I most definitely am. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sorry for your loss as well. And thank you again. I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, you're so welcome, Nan. God bless you. I want to mention that I'm going to be speaking at Cross Church Apologetics Conference July 20th. That conference is being held in Palm City, Florida. Again, it's at Cross Church, and it is located between Orlando and West Palm Beach. And by the way, the pastor of that church is a good friend of mine. He is a man who is someone you will want to hear yourself. He's a Grammy Award-winning musical artist, and his ability to speak and preach and teach is just incredible. He and I are going to be doing a question and answer session as well during this conference, so please join us. All of this is happening again at Cross Church. You can call the church, 772-600-4968, again, 772-600-4968, or get that information on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also want to mention the Fall Vision Banquet, which is coming up in Utah. I'll be speaking there Saturday, July 27th from 6 to 9 p.m., as well as eating with you. For more details, you can visit the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, that following Sunday, July 28th, I'll be speaking at South Mountain Community Church in Utah. I'll be speaking at the two worship services in Draper and South Jordan near Salt Lake City. Again, if you want further information, here's a number to call, 801-501-7711. 801-501-7711. You can find that information again on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We pray that today's program has blessed you and deepened your understanding of Scripture. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to our website, equip.org. That's equip.org, or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. God wants you to know true financial freedom, to live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money, to know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
Are you a Christian looking for a phenomenal Bible app? The Word of Promise Bible app may be exactly what you've been looking for. You'll experience the Bible like never before. This free app includes the entire New King James Bible text with powerful search capabilities. For example, you can look for a word like love, and every verse that includes love will appear. Also included is the entire 2-hour audio gospel of John featuring world-renowned actors. This 2-hour audio gospel of John is fully dramatized with sound effects, with an original music score, and is synchronized to the text so that as you hear this powerful audio theater, the text appears verse by verse. Receive your free Word of Promise Bible app today at equip.org.